Blog Talk Radio.
Islam, Salam, Rahubat, Gino Lako Ninani, Chief Noble Bandele Elamine, back again for another blog. And today's blog will be dealing with Greco-Roman connection to ancient Kemet. And I'm going to have my homeboy KB on the line. And basically, we're going to chop it up about Greece, Rome, its connection to Kemet. We got some other, you know, the Nile Valley civilization, you know, the whole connection and the timeline, because, you know, a lot of people not really know history to the point where they can break down the timelines and show the timelines in contrast with other countries or civilizations that was going on at the same time, or when one ended versus when one began. So we're going to get into all that. You know, but before we get into that, you know, check out the rest of the shows. Check us out on YouTube. We got a YouTube page, New Kemet TV. I've been putting a lot of new information up there, so please go check it out. Go check me out. Look me up on Instagram, Chief Noble Bandele. I'm on Facebook, so just subscribe. Keep up, follow. We got a lot of information that we're going to be bringing and dropping. So, you know, it's 2020. It's been crazy, but we've been trying to keep up and keep bringing the knowledge and the heat for you. So, but brother should be coming on in a few minutes. I'm trying to wait for him, but I do want to just say a couple things about this topic before he maybe get on the line. You know, a lot of people are coming into the knowledge and understanding of, you know, Kemet or the Nile Valley, you know, Africa in general, and that's a wonderful thing. But a lot of things are not being fully put out there connected. You know, a lot of stuff is on the internet, but there's these disconnects that we have on with the information and the knowledge, you know, and so the timeline is real crucial, you know, when you're looking at the whole history of things in the past 10, 20,000 years, you know, like people don't really get the grasp of that. So I see brother has dropped on the line. I'm about to put him on. So hold on, y'all. Yo, peace, God. Can you hear me?
Peace, God.
Okay,
peace.
Okay. Peace. Yeah. I was just, you know, I know you probably heard me dropping it on a little bit, but, you know, just we were talking about the timeline, and I'm just saying how important it is for us to understand the timeline, you know, because a lot of people look at history and they'll see something that happened in 1830, and they don't really realize it's 1830 that they're looking at. They'll be like, oh, it looked like 1700s to them, or it looked like the 1600s to them, and they don't really understand. No, that's 1800. You know, you can look at based on the
right
time, on the clothing, on the styles, or whatever. But they'll be like, they don't think the Civil War was before the Revolutionary War, or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, because they don't realize the timeline. So, you know, but you know, I was just, you know, letting people know about the timeline a little bit, man. I know we don't got a lot of time before we gotta get off of here, so I know we can get into it, man. So what are your thoughts on this?
Well, like you said, the timelines is very important, especially when we're dealing with ancient history. We're talking about ancient Kemet and the Greeks and the Romans and all that. Matter of fact, a lot of folks know that Kemet had a really big impact on Greeks and Romans. And matter of fact, one of the first books that really kind of woke me up was The Stolen Legacy. The Stolen Legacy book, that was a very important book. And I picked that book up maybe a while ago. And I admit I didn't thoroughly get a real thorough understanding of the book. But it wasn't until recently that I was doing some research, and I was looking at the timelines, and I'm like, wow. I'm like, wow. It's a big mix-up going on. In high school, they'd be trying to teach the history, and they'd be confusing people for real. History probably in high school, and I was under the impression that the Greeks was just about as long as Kemet was.
Right. Now, but hold on, before I get to that, there was something you said about Stolen Legacy. Y'all, that's a good book, Stolen Legacy by, G.M. James? I did a paper on that, man. I did a paper on that in college, where I was basically the African origins of Greek philosophy. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's one, like off the rip, when you talk about the connection, one connection that I know off the rip is that philosophy, like the Greek philosophy and all that, was straight out of Egypt, straight out of Kemet. You know what I'm saying? But that was that. Now, the other part you was talking about was the way that they do it in school. And then you're right, because, my daughter, when she was in high school, I saw her curriculum, and I talked to the history teacher, and they said they were going to start with Greece and Rome, and then they were going to go back to Egypt. And I felt like that was backwards, because we know that Egypt was before Rome. But the way that they're trying to teach it, it was psychologically making them think that Greece and Rome were around earlier or at the same time of Egypt. So I totally agree with where you're going with that.
All right. Yeah, for real. We definitely need to get a thorough understanding of these dates, because a lot of times we be coming with this information like, well, we invented the writing system. We invented mathematics and astrology and all that good stuff. And you got a lot of naysayers. Well, it was the Greeks and the Romans and all that. And but once we come forth with them dates, it's really undeniable.
Right. The earliest, I feel like the earliest of Greece, we look it up, earliest of Greece was like, no earlier than, I feel like 1200 BC, just off the top of my head. And, that's old, a little bit, but that doesn't go back as far, nowhere close to Kemet. Or Sumer, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
At all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't go back. And that's... I'm just guesstimating. I know it wasn't back before anything before that. I'm about to look, though, at the...
Right. And then I'm looking at some stuff right now. It say Rome didn't come about until about 753 BC. So... You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure we're going to go into this, but, Kemet goes back way further than that, about two, three times that,
At least 4,000, at least 4,000 BC. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kemet at least 4,000 BC. I mean, the pyramids was built before Greek civilization.
Right.
So when people, yeah, so people got to look at that. I mean, like, you're talking about 750 B.C. Like, for real, I mean, like, Kemet had already gone into sort of a decline by then.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, the shit, Greek predecessors was Persia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that was, at the time, was the superpower. I mean, if you look at the movie 300, you know, they talk about how, I mean, Persia was the world empire. Greece was these fledgling city-states that really didn't get along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way, I think, the way that how society, when they do history, because they know certain things are old, and in order to perpetuate that white nationalist, you know, type of society, they put these things out there like that. They try to, like, mix up the timeline.
Exactly.
And, you know, and whitewash.
Like,
and they're whitewash, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, even with Kemet, you look at Kemet, I mean, they try to make that look like it's the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in North Africa. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they try to whitewash Egypt. They try to only show us Egypt from a certain timeline. Like,
right.
Like, after, right. Like, you know, like when the Greeks, by the time the Greeks, because, like, I mean, by the time the Greeks become a power, was 325. It's like 325. Like, by the time they're a superpower, by the time Alexander does what he does, it's 325
BC or AD?
BC.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, by then, like I said, you know, Egypt, Kemet was already in decline. It had already been invaded by Persians or whoever, you know, other, like, they had already invaded before. So Kemet was never, like, necessary,
right.
You know. Yeah, it was nothing by the time, by the time Greece came in. You know, and then people get that confused,
right.
too, because they think Greece and Rome was the same, and Greece comes way before, not way before, but it comes before Rome. Like, Rome,
right.
come, you know what I'm saying? Rome come after, and then Rome starts taking on some of Greece philosophy. So that's why they call it, like, you know, they use that word Hellenistic.
Mm-hmm.
When they're talking about Hellenistic,
mm-hmm.
they're talking about supposed to be Greek influence. So they talk about Rome being in the Hellenistic age. So even though Rome comes after Greece and it's the power, the influence is still coming out of Greece thinking.
Right.
You know? Right. So, you know, that's just something to chew out. But yeah, so, I mean, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, man. You know, you was talking about the whitewashing and all that. That's very important, because you got a lot of these so-called historians out here, you know, that would tell you that, well, Euclid, you know, they talk about Euclid all the time. You know, a lot of folks, you know, be talking about Euclid. They be calling Euclid the father of geometry, or the founder of geometry. But how this dude was the founder of geometry when he was born and raised and died in Alexandria? And, you know, these historians, you know, they'll try and cover the facts, but, you know, a lot of them will admit that he basically didn't even create no geometry. He basically compiled a book of all the knowledge that they had in Kemet, and basically, I don't know, gave it to the Greeks, you know, or attributed to the Greeks. And
right.
He wasn't even born till about 300 BC. Let me see. He was born 325 BC. So how this dude was the founder of geometry, born in 325 BC, and the pyramids had been built about 2500 BC, almost over 2,000 years before this dude was even born. How did they exactly build the pyramids with no knowledge of geometry? But then, according to them, you know, this dude, the founder of mathematics and geometry?
Right. Well, see, they're building on the foundations of what we call Western civilization. And so what they'll tell you, right, is that these are the founders of Western medicine, Western geometry. And that's what they are. They're the founders. I mean, you know, that's more accurate, you know, is that they are founders of Western civilization. Because, it's the same thing with, you know, all the rest of it. Like all the rest of your subjects, when you talk about medicine, they say that, what is it, Herodotus? No, not Herodotus. The father of medicine. It's really Imhotep, though.
One of them dudes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think, though. Hippocrates.
Like, Hippocrates is the father of medicine in Western culture. But the Egyptian, the Kemetic dude Imhotep, he's really the father of medicine, because I mean they said that Hippocrates himself said he is a child of Imhotep.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Imhotep was such a great healer that when he died, people came to his burial site to get healed.
Hmm.
And, you know, and that he was like almost, he was like one of the first people that was almost turned into a deity. He was almost like looked at as a higher being after he passed because of that. And so, so Hippocrates comes behind that. And so, that's, you know, in a sense, that's the whitewash, because they try to just minimize it by, it's like they try to keep it close to what Westerners did, like what they consider Western philosophy, Western science, you know, they try to keep it all to Greek.
Right.
You know, right.
Yeah, man. I mean, and these, you know, it's also very important. I'm sure we're gonna talk about the so-called Minoan people or whatever. But recently, I was doing some studying, and I think, you know, folks gotta kind of understand how languages work and how people been studying languages. And when we do that, we'll see that A lot of the Western or whatever have you, white folks or, you know, paler people, they speak languages that will fall under the Indo-European languages. And when we look that up and research that, we see that these languages really didn't begin to, these people who spoke these languages didn't really begin to flourish until very late. Like if you compare the timelines, you'll see that all the Indo-European language speakers didn't really develop until way late. So
you're right.
You know, that's
right.
That's also very important.
Right. I mean, so what is the Indo-European languages? Like,
well,
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was gonna say, for real, I'm still researching it. It's really like a new thing for me, but Indo-European languages is really from, like, for lack of better words, they is from the north. They from the northern parts of the world, and they kind of migrated to the southern parts. Like even the Greeks and the Romans, supposedly, you know, they all descend from an ancient language, a group of, I guess they were called Proto-Indo-European. I don't know. But the idea is that languages represent a family. There's a lot of similarity between languages and like all the European languages. And part of the so-called Middle Eastern languages, you're talking about, I don't know. I still got to look into that. But that's kind of the theory. I mean, like I said, I still got to look into that. But the point is that this language family and these people did not develop till like way late compared to other language families or groups.
Right, I got you. Like comparing it to like Afro-Asiatic or
right,
even like Semitic, perhaps. I don't think they go back as far as those. But like, I'm looking at the, I mean, because it is a Eurasian, I mean, like they say it's a European language system, but it does have components of like what we call Middle Eastern today, but like the Iranian, even like it seemed like some of the like even India.
Right,
I guess.
Like the Persians.
I mean, Indo, I guess. I don't know if that's part of the reason why Indo, called Indo-European. But I do see, like, it feels like that Caucasus mountain region.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, so, it's interesting because, I mean, evidence, because this, it goes into the Mycenaean Greek, like, yeah, I mean, like, oh, that is their language. But, like, my knowns, that's a, like, I was looking at my knowns, I don't think their language system is necessarily based on that. Let me see. Like,
I wouldn't be
like
surprised. I know
it's weird because you don't really hear about them, man.
Right, at all.
At all.
And I think it's important, you know, for all our listeners, when y'all get a chance, definitely go to Google and then type in Minoans on the Google images and watch what pop up. You will be surprised. Or maybe not.
You know, I did do that. I mean, like, so what you thinking, man? You saying like the Minoans would not be considered white?
At least not partially. You know, when you go through the pictures, you do see some pale colored folks in there. However, you also do see a lot of dark people there, which is something that would kind of be unexpected given that this island, I don't know what they call the island now. I don't know what it's called now. It's Crete or something like that.
They're like like Crete.
It's often.
Is it called Crete?
It might not be. I don't know. That was just a wild guess.
I mean, Crete is the most formal of the Bronze Age. Looking at the civilization, it said that it's trade. It traded throughout the Levant being like down all the way down in like Israel area, Canaanite. They said they traded, had extended trade down there.
Mm-hmm.
But
and with Egypt,
would you say that because they was in the agency, you know that, right? I mean, that's what we.
You say what?
They say that they were in the agency somewhere.
Okay.
Would that being in the agency, they're not really far from Africa. And
at all.
So it wouldn't be, to me, it wouldn't be out of the question to think that some of the earlier settlers of Minoan could have been African, or, you know, or at least they would have come in contact with them in an early period of their civilization. I mean, like, it's all speculation. I mean, I don't know. But I just feel like you couldn't rule it out.
Right. I mean, when we look at the so-called Minoans or whatever, they go back way further than the Greeks. They go back to about around the time, you know, we're talking about Kemet, to about 3,000, you know, BC.
Right. They go back like 3,000 BC. So, right. So they're before Greece, but they're like somewhat later after Kemet still. Like, I mean, they still come like after Kemet.
I mean, I think the timelines kind of match up well. Like, matter of fact, I was looking at some information. They were saying that it's a lot of similarities between the Minoans and the Egyptians. And some folks even say that, like, they were of Egyptian descent. Matter of fact, when you look at the early Minoan writing system, they were, like, hieroglyphic type of writing, which
okay.
I might as well put in there that this writing system that the Minoans had, they developed it into, you know, a different type of writing that wasn't holographic or whatever, but like this writing system was adopted by the Greeks later on. Like, the Greeks took the Minoan writing system and used it to create their own writing system. And mind you, you know, the Minoans, so-called Minoans, they had lasted, you know, a couple thousand years, and it was around the time that they was in decline that the Greeks came and basically, you know, took over and, you know, adopted a lot of parts of their culture and, you know, took it back to the mainland. So, yeah. Matter of fact, some folks even say the Minoans, in a lot of ways, were kind of like they contributed a lot to Greek culture. I mean, if the writing system ain't enough, what else do you need?
You saying like the Minoans? You hold up. You say who?
Yeah, the Minoans or the Minoans.
Yeah. So you say that they feel like it's close to Greek writing.
Yeah, like I actually ran through some information that said that they developed a writing system that the Greeks later took and, you know, put their own thing on it. And, you know, that was the Greek alphabet, which didn't come around until 800 BC, which was way late compared to hieroglyphics.
Right. And then, you see that, but that put me into mind with you got the Phoenicians.
Mm-hmm.
That they say like Greek and Roman stuff come out of that too. Like the alphabet, because they ain't do nothing but.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I did a video on that. Y'all can check it out. But it was showing the Phoenicians' origin coming from ancient Canaan prototype language. So that's
mm-hmm.
interesting. Like, I need to find a connection between my knowing, I need to see the connection where they get their system from. What?
It's interesting because the Minoans, they only kind of recently even found out about these people. Matter of fact, I think it was about 1900 AD. We're talking about the 1900s in common era. Or current era, whatever. So, you know, it's still a lot of research to be, you know, be done on that. I can't really say who's who or what's what, but, you know, just going off the information that I had, they saying that, well, they, you know, writing system was at least partially based on the Minoans, if not fully. And who knows? They could have very well got it from the Phoenicians or whoever. I mean, they was part of that system. You know, more than likely they traded with them. So,
I mean, yeah. I'm looking too. It's like they were like both traders. Like they did a lot of trading. I'm just yeah, that's something to be. That's like going to be something to look at.
But yeah, you know, we definitely got to know about them because, you know, when we say certain stuff about how, you know, we the founders of arts and science and all that good stuff, you know, we got to be able to, you know, come with the timelines and, you know, the people and all this information to, you know, to really back this up for real, for real. I mean, because it's facts. I mean, people have been saying it for a long time, but with the information out, I mean, with the internet, this information is way more easily accessible. While a couple decades ago, you damn near had to go to the museum to look at certain artifacts. Now you can just go on Google and look at them. So I think right now and in the following decades, we're going to have a lot more information, a lot more clarity, and a lot more details to fully substantiate these claims, because it's a lot of naysayers out here. And we really need to kind of dig deep into that so that we can have these details so that, you know, when folks come around, oh, well, this and this and that, well, we got the dates. Out your own mouth, you know, we got the dates. You know, you don't got to dig deep, go to library no more. It's right here on Google. So.
Right. Right. And, you know, with more research, it's like you're going to find more of the timelines changing, too, because, you know, they say, like, Kemet is so old, but the evidence finds that it's really older than what they're saying it is. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times due to finding more artifacts and things like that, a lot of times it can change the timelines and make them. Usually it'll go. It seems like it goes back further in most instances. So, you know, I mean, because when we look at the Sphinx and stuff, I mean, it's like the Sphinx is way older than they're saying 4,000 years ago. Like Graham Hancock and all them, you know, went over there and did a lot of research and testing and found it that it was there when there was water, you know, like when there was more of a green, lush area instead of being dry desert now. So they go back, that go back way further. So it pushes.
And you know what? That's important too, though, because it's important too because they didn't even really start studying Kemet. You know, these British people, they ain't even really start stealing the artifacts and investigating all that stuff until about what, 1920 or something like that? I don't know. It was maybe a little bit sooner.
Say that was the
maybe
major,
1800s.
Yeah, I'm going to say 1800s. I'm going to say probably with Napoleon. I'm going to say
okay.
Napoleon, because Napoleon them is the ones, I think, allegedly they figured out the code. They found that Rosetta Stone, which it had like, it was written like in Kemetic, and then it was written in like Greek or something. So they were able to translate that and use that to read the hieroglyphs. And now, you know, I think that was under Napoleon. So, you know, Napoleon in the early 1800s, I'm going to say, they started, they went into Kemet. They had invaded Kemet and occupied it. And that's when you start seeing them, you know, Europeans start to excavate. You know, they say that, you know, Napoleon wasn't too pleased at what he was finding, because he was finding, you know, dark-skinned African people. You know, they were finding these coffins and the architecture, the statues, and these things of that nature. The old ones were more African phenotype, and he wasn't liking that.
Right.
I mean, that's what they say, you know. I mean, I don't know how true this is at this point. I mean, you know, but the whole thing used to say that, you know, Napoleon blew off the noses of, you know, statues because they had black noses. I mean, and I don't know how true that is at this point, but because I've heard, you know, dispute about it. But I mean, it is a fact that he was there. And it's something about Egypt, man. It's something about Kemet that out of all the ancient worlds that people are fascinated with. Like, when they go there, they don't want to destroy it. It's weird. It's like they don't really want to destroy it per se. They want to try to, like, take the power from it, or the mysticism. They get caught up in that mystic, you know, mysticism about Kemet. I mean, I don't see that with Sumer or, you know, these other ancient places. I don't see that when they do that with the Greeks or the Romans. I only really see them romanticize about Egypt.
You know, and I think that's partially because they know where this stuff come from. They already know what the deal is. You know, they're gonna try to whitewash everybody and create movies like The Gods of Egypt to try to convince everybody that these were white folks. They, you know, try so hard to deny the fact that, you know, these were dark-skinned, melanated people of African, Asiatic descent, whatever term you want to use. But, yeah, they know. And they will very much try to hide the facts and try to confuse people. But they are well aware.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, they're really aware. It's like they want to take it for themselves. I mean, because they're so fascinated with Egypt. I mean, like, you see them wearing Ankh. You see white people, like, associate themselves with Pharaoh, pyramid power. Like, pyramid power was something that was a European thing in the, like, 60s, 70s. Like, they were so fascinated with, even, you know, like, when American culture, they got fascinated with it. You know, you look at, like you say, like, in the 1900s, the Carter, what was it, Carter, he found a Tutankhamun tomb. You know, they were into this big thing of getting that, and they was, like, taking, and they were selling, like, people bones, like, and grinding them up and selling them as some kind of potion. And think, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like they got this such of a fascination with their way that they want to take it on for themselves. And I mean, like, every film they've made has reflected white on Egypt. I mean, like, you know, like you said, the gods of Egypt. Let's look at The Mummy. You know, Cleopatra. You know, with Charleston Heston and Elizabeth Taylor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every movie that they made about Egypt in Hollywood has had, like, Eurocentric undertones. Even, like, this movie, even that cartoon, that Disney movie, like, they were the closest to, like, having some kind of melanated source when they did their movie about Moses. I can't remember the name of
The Prince of Egypt.
I can't remember the name of it. What was it called?
The Prince of Egypt. The Prince of Egypt?
Yeah, Prince of Egypt. Yeah, Prince of Egypt. Like,
yeah.
You know, even with that, I mean, it was like the Prince of Egypt. And they're really talking about some Hebrew, some legend Hebrew boy, Moses. You know, that's really what Prince of Egypt is about. It wasn't even about Egypt, per se.
Right.
You know.
Or even what about, you know, I know we only got a couple minutes left, but what about, you know, I know a lot of folks, you know, who kind of dibble and dabble into, you know, esoteric, you know, secret societies and all that. But, you know, a lot of that, you know, don't a lot of them folks go back, you know, be trying to trace themselves back to Euclid, right? Or they be trying to, you know, tie in, you know, Euclid is supposed to be a very important figure. I could be wrong, but it's just from my understanding, ain't Euclid supposed to be an important figure among certain groups?
I mean, like, okay, you talk about Euclid, you talking about who, like the Greek dude?
Yeah. Did they talk about Euclidean geometry or whatever?
Oh, right. Euclid, right. He's a mathematician, but he was in Alexandria. That's what it
right.
was. Like, he was in Egypt. But that he was there, mm-hmm. you know, because at the time, they was under Greek rule or influence. Because Alexandria was founded by them, by Greeks. You know. Which is weird, like people. That's what people be like, because like the Greeks were so into Egypt, they, you know, they had took over Egypt, and they didn't destroy Egypt, they just took it over, and then they made it like the hotbed. It was already the hotbed, but they wound up controlling the hotbed. And Euclid is one of those people that came out of there, you know,
right.
The father of geometry, right? But he studied in Egypt, like he was in Alexandria, which was
right.
like where the university was at. Like Alexandria
mm-hmm.
used to be like the top, you know what I'm saying? That's where everybody from around the world would come and study,
right?
But that was under
and
Greek.
Later on,
under
we got
Greek
book too.
You say what?
Right. No, I was just pointing out. Then later, you know, we got Timbuktu, you know. Maybe
right.
we can talk about that on
Timbuktu,
another show.
South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I mean, and you know, when people, as Egypt got invaded, it would also, you know, people would leave there and go other places, man. So, you know, but, man, look like we out of time, my brother. So maybe we do another blog on this, you know, but definitely we get another show in. And, you know, so everybody, we can check you out on the next show. Peace and love, Tutanana, and all that.
All right, peace, folks.
Peace.